We've heard a lot about cuts to Medicaid in the Trump administration's sweeping new tax law. But what will the tax cuts in the law mean for you? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the law and what it will mean for your wallet is Washington correspondent for the 19th, Amanda Becker. Thanks for being here, Amanda.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're grateful that you're here. As I understand it, this new law extends the tax cuts that were passed during President Trump's first term. If that hadn't happened, what kind of increases would have hit people at different income levels?
Yeah, so those 2017 tax cuts disproportionately benefited the wealthy and corporations. So if they had expired, that is mainly who would have seen their tax bills increased. But it did when they extended these 2017 tax credits that mostly benefited the corporations and the wealthy. They did add some other provisions that will benefit people kind of farther down on the chain in terms of income as well.
Okay. I understand some of this stuff relates to the standard deductions. How does this raise the standard deduction for an individual or a married couple?
Yeah, so it does raise it slightly, but I don't think that's where most people will see kind of the majority of their savings in their pocketbooks. There are other provisions that either are going to cost you more or less money, depending on kind of what your financial situation is and what deductions you were planning on taking. For example, they rolled back some tax credits for clean energy and, you know, climate resiliency that people might be using to install energy efficient appliances or to add solar panels to your roof. So those actually, that will expire, that credit, after this year. So if you're planning on doing any of those things, get it done before the end of December, and so you can claim it on your taxes early next year for the year 2025. But then it also adds, you know, it takes away a tax credit for electric vehicles, but it adds a deduction for interest on car loans if they're made in the United States. So these are the things where I think people are going to start to see, depending on how they file their taxes and if they use deductions, their tax bill could, you know, shift pretty significantly for the average person.
Wow, that is so specific. So a deduction for a car loan if the car you buy is made in the United States?
Yes. So the way they say it, the cars that will qualify, first, they must be for personal use, not business or commercial, and they must have final assembly of the vehicle in the United States. So final assembly could use parts from other places, but they're shipped here and then they're all put together here at a U.S.-based manufacturing facility where they do the final kind of assembly of the vehicle. So up to $10,000 in car loan interest can be deducted, but there is an income cap. So for one person who makes more than $100,000 a year, that will start to phase out. For married couples, it starts at $200,000 who are filing jointly. But, you know, experts have said this will disadvantage lower income car buyers. Actually, 80% of cars under $30,000 are imported. And so they would not have access to this deduction.
What about used cars? Does it get into that?
Only new cars.
Okay. Well, that probably disadvantages lower income people, too.
New final assembly, made in the U.S. vehicles. And again, this is probably going to, you know, really be a deduction for people on the higher end of the car buying spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Mark. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question?
Yeah, I was just wondering, what was the metric that was used? The guest had just mentioned that the 2017 tax cuts predominantly benefited the wealthy and the corporations. I was just wondering if you could flesh that out a little bit more.
Okay. Thanks so much for that question.
Yeah, I could look up the percentage, but this is based on kind of independent analyses from nonpartisan groups that study tax policy about kind of the impact of that law. Because, you know, there's so much we don't know when a law goes into effect in terms of how it will play out. Specifically, these bills that are up to, you know, 1,000 pages. This most recent one was 900 pages. And so you don't really see it until people start filing in terms of where this benefit is going. But some of the estimates, I think, were as high as 80% in terms of the benefits going to corporations and the wealthy. That's kind of what they were designed to do on the business side. Was kind of the idea was to start jumpstart innovation and investment in businesses by lowering their tax burden.
Does that mean I would imagine could be wrong because I'm no tax expert, but that these 2017 tax changes, I would imagine some middle class and working families did feel those, right? I mean,
yes. And there will be other provisions that middle class families will feel in this recent version. And I can go into a couple of those. One is the child tax credit. It is increasing from $2,000 to $2,200 per child. And it will now be indexed to inflation going forward. So that was one complaint about the child tax credit in the past, was that it wasn't indexed to inflation. So life kept getting more expensive and children kept getting more expensive, but the tax credit wasn't going up. So that will go up to $2,200. Now, that is written in a way where for the first time, at least one parent has to have a Social Security number. So what does that mean? That means that citizen children who have parents who might not be citizens, but who are filing taxes, will not have access to that child tax credit.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I was also just going to add that it's not what we call refundable. So also the people at lower incomes who have children might not be able to fully access that credit because you have to pay enough taxes to get the credit. And so that credit is really something that's expected to benefit kind of middle class families.
Okay. Let's see if I can get Mark back on to see. And I don't think I can get Mark back on. So, Mark, I'm sorry. I was going to try to get you back on the air, but this phone line is smarter than I am. Oh, let me try again. Hi, Mark. Can you hear me? I don't think so. Well, I'm sorry, Mark. I appreciate your call and your question. I am struggling to get you back on the air, so I'm going to hang up. Okay, you mentioned that some of these other benefits that people will feel. What about low-income households? Will they see tax cuts in this law also?
So again, they won't probably be able to access the expanded child tax credit in many cases because they won't be paying enough taxes to access that. But there are a couple of things that could benefit lower-income households. For example, there's new provisions related to tax on tips and also on overtime. So this is a tax deduction of up to $25,000 from tips. Let's start with tips. And it phases out if you're an individual making more than $150,000 or a married couple making more than $300,000. So what this means is, and so don't think that your paycheck is going to change immediately. Your employer will still keep deducting the same amount of taxes as they always have. What will change is when you go to file your taxes early next year in 2026, you'll have this deduction that you can claim on your tips. And so that should, in theory, increase the refunds that people are going to get if they have tipped wages. And it does phase out, so that, you know, is geared at kind of helping out people who are middle class and lower income. Same thing for tips. So it is a tax overtime. Tax deduction of up to $12,500 or $25,000 for couples for qualified overtime. So, example, you're earning a $75,000 base salary and you get another $15,000 from overtime. You would only then have to pay federal income taxes on $2,500 of that overtime. So that's the amount past $12,500. Hmm. And so, again, this is not going to show up in your paycheck immediately. This is something you'll get when you file your return next year in a refund. And I should note also that those two provisions are temporary. All of the various provisions in this 900-page law kick into effect at different times and expire at different times. So those are actually, those two things on overtime and tips in terms of the deductions are through the end of 2028. So they last until the end of Donald Trump's presidency.
Let me ask you this, and I don't know if this is getting too in the weeds because you mentioned this is a more than 900 page bill.
I'll see what I can do. I've only read parts of it.
I mean, come on, Amanda. You haven't spent every waking hour trying to figure this out. But if you're getting that deduction for overtime and tips, will that affect Social Security benefits down the road? Is there any information on that? Because if you're, I don't know, maybe I've got this wrong, but I thought that if your tips and overtime were taxed, then that fed into Social Security and kind of helped your benefits down the road. But I could have that all wrong.
I would think that it wouldn't, and I haven't looked into that specifically, but again, you are being taxed on these benefits, mm-hmm. On your overtime and on your tips.
You're just getting a deduction
at the end of the year. Okay. So it would function like any other deduction that you claim on your tax returns.
Okay. Well, we are talking about President Trump's new tax and spending law and what it will mean for all of us. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So I just asked you about low-income households, and you talked about overtime and tips. How will those potential benefits compare to benefits they might lose through changes to Medicaid or food assistance?
So we're going to have a period where the work requirements, which is how the vast majority of people who experience differences to their Medicaid coverage or SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits, the people participating in those programs, and that's for Medicaid, there are about 3 million Ohioans on Medicaid and about 1.4 million Ohioans on SNAP. Those are not going to change immediately. So for Medicaid, states must implement the new work requirements by the end of next year. They can do it earlier. So we're just starting to see kind of how quickly various states are going to move on this. This law was written in a very clever way where a lot of the provisions that are going to be popular with the average voter are kicking into effect soon. And the ones that are not going to maybe be as popular are kicking in after the midterms. And then the popular ones expire after Trump is out of office, after the next presidential election. So we won't know is kind of the short answer in terms of how it will even out in terms of what you're able to deduct and savings you might get on your taxes versus the benefits that you may be losing if you're one of the people subject to new work requirements on SNAP or Medicaid.
We have a caller on the line. Hi, Amy. Thanks so much for listening. What's your question?
Hi. I had a question regarding the tax deduction for tips. Is this a deduction that's going to require somebody to itemize their in order to be able to receive that deduction? Because certainly a lot of people who are earning tips, it is not cost effective for them to be itemizing. Or is this a deduction that they will be getting on top of just regularly doing their taxes?
Thanks, Amy.
Yes, Amy. So both the deduction for tips and overtime, they are both above the line deductions. So this would function. There's several deductions that are like that. The standard deduction that we talked about that they're increasing a little bit is one of them. So you will not have to itemize in order to claim those two deductions, which, as you noted, is very important because a lot of people below a certain income level do not itemize their mm-hmm. deductions on their
yeah.
taxes.
Great question, Amy. We appreciate your calling and thanks for that question. One thing I wanted to ask you about, there was a lot of talk during all this debate about the SALT deductions. Can you explain what those are and what this law did about those?
Yeah. So the SALT deductions are state and local tax deductions. They're really important for people who live in expensive cities and counties. So that is why you saw a lot of Republican lawmakers from, you know, places outside New York City and, you know, outside of major cities really worried about this. California is another one. So it increased the SALT deduction temporarily. I don't know how much of an impact that will have on folks here in Cincinnati. I think probably the lower deduction probably covered the vast majority of people's SALT-related deductions. But certainly in other more expensive areas of the country, that will be very important. And that also has a sunset provision on it.
Okay. We got an email from Peter. We're going to test your tax knowledge here, Amy.
Wow.
Peter asks, how will the new tax cuts be offset by the import taxes Americans will be paying on any imported goods? I think Peter's talking about tariffs there.
Yeah.
Is that anything you've been able to study?
I don't even think people... there has been so much movement in terms of the tariffs and when they're taking effect and how much it's going to be. And it keeps changing on both in terms of when they're kicking in and the percentages that are going to be in place. So I don't think we really have any idea yet of kind of whether these things will zero each other out or not.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a real Ouija board question
yeah.
right there. Getting back to tips, I know there was a lot of talk during the presidential campaign about whether professions that traditionally haven't gotten tips or haven't, that pay structure hasn't been there, whether they might change their pay structures to make tips instead to take advantage of this. Is that something that was addressed in this law?
Do you mean in terms of like...
Like if I'm a lawyer, maybe I could change the way I get paid to have tips instead
Well, there are already restrictions on who can make overtime and who can make tips in terms of minimum wage laws, in terms of also salaried employees. There's, you know, like, for example, teachers don't make overtime. Like there's a carve out in the fair labor laws for teachers. Only certain professions and certain job categories are even eligible for overtime to begin with. So I don't think that this law makes any significant changes. I could be wrong. It could be somewhere in those 900 pages, but I have not heard anything about it.
Okay. What about, I understand there's a new deduction for people 65 and older. Have you looked into that?
Yes. And so I am going to open this right now because there's been a lot of confusion about this, and I wrote down some notes before I came in. Okay. So Social Security. It's another temporary deduction they've created. So you'll start being able to claim it on your taxes next year and then into the 2029 tax filing season, which will be for 2028. So it's a temporary $6,000 deduction for people over 65, and it eliminates the Social Security tax liability for seniors with incomes of $75,000 or less for one person, or $150,000 or less if you're filing as a married couple. So this is actually going to be something that, again, primarily middle and upper middle class people see a difference in their tax bill, because two-thirds of people who are relying on Social Security already aren't paying tax on their Social Security because their income is below the threshold where they need to pay it. So this will be a $6,000 deduction starting when you file your next taxes for this year. If you're over 65, and making $150,000 or less as a married couple, or $75,000 or less as an individual. So again, middle and upper middle class people will be able to claim this deduction largely when they file their taxes next year, and could see, you know, $6,000 is a pretty big tax benefit.
Yeah. You mentioned the child tax credit, but what about this new investment account for babies? I've been hearing about that too.
Yeah, so these are called Trump accounts, I think is what they're calling them. You kind of claim it in the same way as you do the child tax credit. It has some of the same restrictions in terms of your parents need Social Security numbers in order to claim it. And that puts $1,000 into an account. It kind of works like a Roth savings account or an IRA. And you then, when the child is an adult, can access those benefits.
Okay. And does it, I understand other, like you can add to it, or employers can add to it?
Yes. Sort of and thing? So that's, again, kind of like how some retirement accounts are structured, in that you can then add money to it, kind of like many people have savings accounts for college, things like that. It would function in a very similar way.
So is all of this going to make tax filing more complicated or less complicated for most of us? Or is that an impossible question?
I think it's
answer?
Probably kind of a wash. Yeah. I mean, our taxes are so complicated as it is. This is taking away some deductions and adding others, and, you know, taking away some credits and adding others. So I think, unfortunately, the complicated nature of our tax filing will remain the same. We'll just be figuring out different deductions and credits.
And you mentioned we've been talking very generally, but do you think Ohio taxpayers will feel these changes differently from somebody in like New Jersey or California? I guess with SALT they would, but what about some of these other things?
I really think it's going to depend on individual tax situations more than anything. If you're a middle class family, if you have multiple children, if you maybe have one parent in a profession that's tipped or gets overtime, you know, you could end up seeing temporarily substantial savings before these provisions expire. Now, if none of those apply to you, then you're probably not going to see that big of a difference.
Okay. Well, gosh, I am impressed with your knowledge of this 900 plus page law. Well done. I've been talking with Washington correspondent for the 19th, Amanda Becker. Thank you so much for your time today, Amanda. You've been terrific.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. And if you miss Cincinnati Edition live, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.